Did your wife have a difficult time at childbirth?
No. Why you ask them foolish questions?
Well, we have to know everything.
What did you make out of that?
Oh, I don't know. Did you always have a doctor for childbirth? For your children?
I don't just remember. There was one when I was up on the farm. I don't remember which one it was. It was just my mother there. Didn't have time to get a doctor. I can't remember which one it was. The rest of them were all had a doctor. They weren't right there. Celia was Christina. And Myrtle. Cecil. And Rufus. Bonnie Burke. That was Dr. Whitehead. Burke. Then that thing picked me up the way I talk. I don't talk very loud.
It picks you up pretty good.
Because I have a little bronchial trouble here that bothers my throat a lot.
How did you decide on how to name your children?
Huh?
How'd you decide on names for your children?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. My wife done the most of that. The only one I named was Rufus, I wanted. She'd named Clay, and I never liked the name. And there was only about one in a dozen could pronounce it and spell it right. He was called everything. Clean and Clayton and anything else, you know, for a long while.
Where'd you get the name Clayton from?
Well, she took care of the lady when she was a girl around about 14, after she'd had a child, this woman had, and that's what she named the little baby, and she got awfully attached to it, you know. She was there, her sister lived within about a half a mile of this lady, and they needed some help after the baby was born there, and she went and took care of this lady, or done the work, or what, I don't know, but she was there for a month or more. She kind of liked that name because that's what she named her first one. Call her there.
Where? Which was that?
What's that?
Vivian. Where she got Vivian's name?
Where did she get it?
Yeah.
I think I named her. Well, all right. I can't hear what she says.
She named her out of a book she read in the
winter. I know. I had read it, and she read it. And Christina's name, I named Christina, because that was a story come in a magazine that we took. It gave a story there in the Cuban War. Spanish-American War.
Right.
And this Vivian, or Christina, the Cuban spy, she was awful good, you know, in the story, you know, how that goes. She's awful clever.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of took to that name, and that's where I got that. Well, I named you. Well, I was.
Did you read many books when you were...
Always read a lot of everything. History and adventure was my choice. But I don't read stories like the most of people do. See? The theme of the story don't mean nothing to me. The characters. What I can read when I'm reading it. Now, I don't know if I can make you understand the way I understand it, but I'm going to try to. I put myself as the man that wrote that and figure out as I'm reading how clever that person was to put together that whole theme of that story from start to finish and still make it all come in and make it interesting all the way through. See? Now, I'm giving you a hint, ain't I? You're going to make a composition of that. You're going to try to make a story of it, ain't you? Well, now then, I used to read a lot. Oliver Curwood's, I read all his books, to the last few that he read before he died. And when I was in Edmonton in Canada, I met Oliver Curwood. He boarded where I boarded. He had just came down from the northern Canada, way up in Canada. He'd spent a year up there amongst the Eskimos and Indians, picking up material for a book. And we came home one night. See, we rented my partner and I rented a room by the month in this boarding house. When we wasn't there, he re-rented it, our room. See? So he didn't charge us for the time that he rented it. You get my idea?
Right.
He'd sublet our room.
Right.
We'd tell him when we'd go away, we'd be back such a time, so he knew what to do. He had somebody for a night or two or a day or two, he could use that room, see? Well, he always gave us credit for it. McDonald was an awful nice man. He was the cook in the boarding house, and his wife was a waitress. Mister, he was a cook. If you didn't like what he'd give you, he'd ask you what you wanted, and he'd get it. A nice man.
Did your relatives come to the house to help your wife with birth?
I was there, I think it was once I was away. For a while, I think I was out after the doctor, and when I come back, my mother delivered the child. But I had the doctor afterwards. And I don't seem to remember which one it was. I can remember one. And I rather think it was Vivian.
But did relatives help her do the housework? They might come and stay with her immediately after birth?
No, they had to stay in bed for 9 days, 10 days.
Who took care of the house in the meantime?
Well, hired girls or friends or neighbors' wives or brothers or sisters. She had a couple of younger sisters. She had one sister when we got married, was only 10 years old, and she stayed to our place quite a lot. Her father had died, her mother was a widow living with her boys. After the boys all left, the old lady couldn't run the farm. I'm all stuffed up this morning. Catch it in cold somebody, don't take much.
No.
Yeah, there were two girls younger than her. Well, there were two boys younger than her, I think. Two girls younger. And they helped quite a lot, the girls did. They came down. And once their older sister with her family came down, they were living in Malone. He was away working. She came down and stayed a week or two. And some of the time when I had to do the work myself, like everybody else.
Did your children wear many hand-me-downs, do you think?
Good what?
Did your children wear many hand-me-downs?
Yeah, their older brothers and sisters' clothing.
Oh, yeah, they all did that. I guess we all did that everywhere. Boy, there was a big family. The clothes were good enough after they got rid of them. As a rule, they were pretty well patched up, but they got once or twice down.
Did your children complain about anything in particular?
Oh, yes. I always had a lot of fun. The young folks used to gather there, have a party every night or two. There was 3-4 families on the other road that used to come over there a lot. And they used to like to come over there, a big house, and they could have lots of fun. You know, Margaret Brockley was talking about that to me when I was in the hospital this spring up there, this last winter. Her husband was in the hospital, and she come over and see me. I hadn't seen her for 20 years. She's about your age, isn't she?
Just about the same age.
She's talking about being over there with you girls, anyway.
What did you do to amuse yourself at night, you know?
Read.
Read? Always read.
Play cards, read.
What about the children?
Eh?
What about the children? What did they do at night?
Well, they just amused themselves and whatever they had.
Sit in the corner?
Hmm?
Sit in the corner?
Oh, no. They always had something to do or play with. Lots of time we had work to do in the evening in the house. Sew a pair of shoes or put tops on a pair of shoes.
Did you make your own shoes?
No, but I used to repair them.
Repair them.
Did you make your own suspenders and belts?
No. That not thought after I was a young kid to home. I ain't done that to home my boy was.
How often did your wife's relatives come to visit you?
Hmm?
How often did your wife's relatives come to visit you?
Oh, as well as often as you'd expect them to come. I can't put it any different. They used there quite often. Some of them, big family of them, and the big family of my family. We just sit back and forth. All of us was agreeable. We sit back and forth quite a lot.
Did you ever take care of your mother-in-law when she got old?
No, not very much. She stayed with the youngest girl, but most of the time. She lived up on Pleasant Street there for quite a while. Two girls went alone to school, and she lived up there. She rented the farm, and she lived up there for 7 or 8, 10 years. Died in Hogansburg. The oldest boy was living in Hogansburg. She was down there when she died, mother-in-law.
How about, did your own brothers and sisters visit you very much?
Oh, yes. Same as whether your relatives visited you.
Mm-hmm. Did you get along well with your brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Like, would you and your brother, or your brothers and sisters, would you do things for each other, or...
Do what?
Would you do things for each other?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Help each other out a lot?
Very often.
What would they ask you to do, or what would you ask them to do?
Well, I always had the shop on the farm, you know, and I generally kept all the repair work done, and shod their horses when they needed it. My father and my brother. I had one brother I never see much of. He spent most of his time in Springfield, Massachusetts, and the rest of his time in Seattle, Washington. Died there.
Your sons and daughters invite their friends from the neighborhood in to have dinner with you. That
got
happened often.
Lots of stuff.
When your children were young, did they have to stand up around the table like you did?
No,
when
you
were, they sat in chairs.
No. I did enough of that. I didn't think it was. Well, that was. What do we say? How would we say that? People did that in those times. See? Quite a lot. Chairs and furniture weren't too plentiful, you know. And if they didn't have enough ground, well, you stood up there not to dinner. At home, there was plenty of chairs enough, but that was the style we had of doing it. There'd always be about four of us standing around there eating our dinner.
there anything in particular that displeased you about your children?
Huh?
Was there anything in particular that displeased you about your children? Anything that they did?
That you didn't like?
That you didn't like?
Oh, I don't know. They all behaved first rate. I can't find a fault with any of them. Any of them get in very much trouble, only mischief, like everybody else. You can think your life over what your parents did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just about what it all happened. You can think of that as your own. Ain't so much difference in it, you know. It didn't change from one year to the other so much as you ought to very think of.
Was there always enough food so they could eat as much as they wanted? Always was?
Yeah, always. Plenty. Sometimes it wasn't all plain cake, but it was always good food.
Did you always have meat in the house?
Yes, we raised all our meat.
Yeah. Did the older children take care of their younger brothers and sisters?
Yeah. Helped their lot. They babysitted most of the time. And all us, some old enough to take care of the younger ones.
Were you and your wife, did you and your wife ever go away and leave just the children at home?
Yes, go to town. Go to a party for an evening, part of an evening. Oh, yes, when the older ones got old enough to take care of them, do that.
How often did you go to town, like Malone?
Oh, pretty near once a week. As a rule, go to some. Sometimes we didn't go to town, we'd go to Westville. There was a little store at Fay at that time. Sometimes if we needed a few things, we would run up there.
Who did more shopping, you or your wife?
Well, the first 8 or 10 years, I did most of shopping. She was always busy with children. After she got grown up with the children, why, she did most of shopping. Is that right, Brian?
I don't want my nose in on that. I tell you a lot about it, but I don't want my nose in on that.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, because it was a grocery cart, came to the door every week, and she didn't have to go shopping.
Yeah, it was for a long while.
Oh, years and years and years and years.
Well, he come on there. About the time he was about 14 or 15 years old, when they come down to Bangor. Joe Perry. What the hell was his name? Well, was a Scotch fellow that worked for Erdo. Well, he wrote, first of all, it was Rich, you remember? Rich come down there with a cart. Erdo bought Rich out.
They would repeat the rag from that big to that big, put it in the bag, and then when the rag peddler were pumped, we got to look into it. You never heard of people doing that?
Did your wife help out with the farm work? Did she have to do any of that?
Worked in the garden a lot and helped me everywhere she could, when she was able to.
Did she milk cows?
Oh, yeah, she's better milker than I was. Women are always better milkers than men.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
How many cows did you have when you had your largest dairy?
20.
What farm was that? The one out
at Westville.
You had pigs on the farm?
Oh, yes.
About how many?
Oh, from 1 to 8, 10. Just keep a couple of brood cells for quite a while. Got sick of it after a while and just kept one pig. And after a while, didn't keep any because you buy it cheaper than you could raise it.
Did you sugar while you on your farm?
Yeah. Yes, I made sugar pretty near every spring.
sold it?
Hmm?
Did you sell your sugar after?
Yes. That cake sugar. What is his name? Old Dan Costello. Kept store there. Down Harrison Place. Is it Harrison Place? Yeah. The corner there. And there's stores underneath. Oh. He was right in that, on under that corner there.
He bought maple sugar?
Yeah.
But how much money would you make, say, for maple sugar?
Oh, not too much. There wasn't very much in making sugar. It cost you so much to make it.
What would cost you so much?
Labor.
You mean the time you spent?
Yeah.
Doing
you had to. You had to be right there. You couldn't work anywhere else. Sap run like hell all day today and all night tomorrow. You had about 4 days, night and day, to get rid of it.
Your sons do a lot of the work.
Oh yes, they do. They all do.
Eh? Not only the sons, the girls gathered sap put many a time.
Yeah. I think Christina and Clayton dragged the most sap of any of them. Had a barrel, two barrels on a sleigh, and they'd go up with them two barrels and put it in them barrels and drive the horses up with it. But he was around about 14 then. She was a year to 2-3 months younger. But they all helped. Everybody helped. Everybody worked. Everybody spread buckets and everybody hung buckets and I done all the boards.
And in the spring of the year we used to come home from school like this, because we knew when we got home we had sap buckets to wash, and that wasn't getting rough.
They all helped to wash the buckets and they helped to gather the sap. They helped to drag in the wood. They all helped. Had 1,100 buckets.
1,100?
16 foot. And 18 foot evaporator. 120 barrel store tank and 117 barrel store tank. 1 5 barrel gathering tank and 1 3 barrel gathering tank. Had 2 gathering tanks on the sleigh. Get 7 barrels to a load. Took a barrel of sap to make a gallon of syrup.
How many barrels did you gather in the one season?
Oh, I don't know if I ever kept track of it.
How many gallons did you make, or how many gallons of syrup?
There was only once I made 160 gallons. Most of the time, 80 and 90. 75, 80 and 90. According to the season, you know, you never knew.
Were there any times during the year when you were working so hard you had to stay up all night to work, to keep up with your work?
Yeah.
Was that during the sap season, sugar season?
The sap season, we had to do that several times. And it was the first year or two I was on there, everybody raised hops around there then. 1905 and 1906 and 1907. I done the drying. I had learned that from my father and learned me how to dry hops.
Did you have your own dry kiln?
Eh?
You had your own dry kiln?
Yeah, father had one on the farm.
So you used his?
Hmm?
You used his dry kiln?
Oh yeah, the whole neighborhood did. He dried through the neighborhood.
Did he charge other people to do it?
Yeah, so much kill. I don't remember now how much it was. I couldn't tell you. Most of it was changed works anyway, you know. You do something for me and I do something for you. You charge them for the wood more than anything else. It took a lot of good hard wood. We used to take 50 cord of wood every year when I was a boy at home. We'd get a man to cut 50 cord. 2 foot long, box stove, furnaces like big heavy stoves. I think I described that here to you, didn't I?
Yeah.
How we did it?
What did you think was the hardest job on the farm?
There weren't any easy ones.
Did you like being a farmer?
Yeah, I liked farming. I wasn't too good a farmer.
Why do you say that?
Well, I was a mechanic. I didn't really, it wasn't my work. I did it because I had to. Because it was after children were all gone, 2 or 3 years, my wife was there before she took sick and was on. I think I enjoyed them years the most of any of them.
Why?
Well, all we tried to do was take care of the cows. We didn't try to do any other work. It was all in hay, and we cut the hay. Cut the cows.
What remedies did your wife have for childhood sicknesses? What remedies did your wife have for the children when they were sick?
Oh, we had the doctor most of the time.
Mustard, plaster, and yarrow.
Mustard, plaster, and yarrow? Mustard, plaster, and yarrow.
we used a lot of home remedies. Mustard plasters was for lung trouble. Oh, some of them was pretty sick. Some of them died. Poor little children died.
Whose four children, yours?
Yeah, and infants. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months old.
Of what?
Eh?
What diseases?
Well, two of them died of whooping cough. One of them died, they didn't know what it was. But since they found out things like it was infantile paralysis, they didn't know what it was then. That was Myrtle. She was what? She was 4 months?
Yep.
4 months old. Just stiffened right up. Hit back. The doctor had both two doctors there. They didn't know what to do.
The youngest one died of pneumonia.
Yeah, mother was awful sick when that one was born. She just got over the grip. Been sick for a couple of months. The baby inherited that, died of it. And two of them died different times of whooping cough. You take a little small baby with a whooping cough, them days, there was no giving them a shot. They didn't know what it was.
What is yarrow?
It was a herb that grows out in the field. Wild yarrow. It isn't pronounced yarrow if you're ready. It's pronounced arrow. It's called yarrow. French people call it turkey weed.
Turkey weed?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that's the name they had for it.
Oh.
That's all I know why.
I
tell you what they done. Why they done that? It was a form of a laxative, and it helped for fever. See? And they used to take, when the yarrow was small, and take the scissors and cut it all up fine, and mix it with the feed for young turkeys. It kept their bowels where it belonged. The turkey was awful inclined to die of diarrhea. Poults. Young turkeys have their poults. And they used to cut that arrowweed up and put it in the turkey feed. That's why the French people call it turkey weed. Because they fed it to the little turkeys.
Did you ever put salt pork on your children's chest?
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. It was to draw the blood through to the skin. That's all I did, that stuff does. Causing the blood to rush there. That takes away the poison of the disease. That's the idea of it. That's what the poultices does with the mustard. It irritates the skin and it makes it sore. And then the blood rushes to that place. That's the way the doctor explained it to me. That old Matt told me about Vivian, and she had lobar pneumonia in both lungs.
When did you start becoming a carpenter?
When I built the house, 1914. But I had worked, helped other fellas quite a lot. Of course, I was a good mechanic. And once a mechanic, from one trade to another, I don't bother about you. Because you knew about measurements. And you know that when you make a joint, you've got to make it tight if it wants to be good. And you've got to take pains and get it where it don't look so you just made it with an axe.
Was there any one man that taught you about carpentry?
No, not any one man in a way. I had an uncle, my mother's youngest brother. He stayed with our place after my mother married. Her mother died the next year. Well, Tom and Lucy, her brother and sister, was 8-10 years old. And they come and lived with my mother till they grew up to manhood and womanhood, stayed there. And Tom was a good carpenter. He learned with his father, when Grandpa was a first-class carpenter. And all his boys were carpenters but one, Grandpa's son, my mother's brother. They were all carpenters but one. There was one of them that... Well, the fact is, I don't think he done anything. At least he didn't try very hard. That's how my father got that little tenement house there on the town line. He was going to lose it, and my father finished paying for it, took the deed. And he died. After he died, father took up the deed and kept his wife there until she got ready. Had her three children, so she got old enough to move away.